time. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Yes, He is. Amen. Has anybody ever had a bad day?
Yeah.
Come on, think about it. Sometimes I have bad days, but one thing I don't have is bad hair days. Okay, but you know what? I heard, and I told Brother Bill this morning, so I'm going to share it with you. And I heard that shampoo, even if you don't have hair, shampoo is good for your hair, right? It's good for your scalp. So I try to find some shampoo to use for my scalp. And I don't know. I just do it. But anyway, this morning, I looked at a bottle of shampoo and it said full body. And that's the one that I've been using. And I think that's what has contributed to my weight problems. But then I also, you know, that was funny. But then, you know, when you're in the shower and you got soap everywhere and you're just trying to find something, my wife's actually got all kinds of bottles up there. And I was looking, and there's one that said Lee's hair smooth and silky, and one that said Lee's hair was fuller volume and color vibrancy and all that kind of stuff. So I thought that was good. You know, I used it, and I dried off, and I looked at the bottle one more time because I noticed it was a bottle that I was unfamiliar with, and it said, removes fleas and ticks. So, you know, I'm fleeless this morning, so praise the Lord. If you have a Bible with you this morning, open up to the book of Luke chapter 14, Luke chapter 14. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, let me ask you a question. Why not? You're coming into the house of the Lord. We are here to worship and praise Him together, and we come to study together. Amen? And so if you don't have a Bible, find an app on your phone, and let's open up God's Word together. We're going to be in Luke chapter 14 today, but before we get there, let me ask you a question. How many wrestling fans do we have in the house? Come on. If you used to watch wrestling as you were growing up, raise your hand. There's a lot of people that used to watch wrestling, and how many of you remember Ric Flair? 16-time world champion. He called himself the Nature Boy. He used to say, to be the man, you've got to beat the man. He would say things like, he was every woman's dream and every man's nightmare. He would say things like, diamonds are forever and so is the Nature Boy. Then he would come out and say, I'm Ric Flair, and I'm styling and profiling, limousine riding, kiss stealing, Rolex wearing, wheeling and dealing, son of a gun. And then he would go, woo! Come on, y'all give it your best. Woo! Y'all can do better than that no more time. Woo! So Ric Flair, he was the guy. And his favorite line when being challenged by another wrestler was, you can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? And today, the title of our message is Walk the Walk. My question to you today, my challenge to you today is, can you walk the walk? As Christians sitting in churches, we do a real good job of saying that we're Christ followers. We do a very good job of saying the right things. We do a very good job of looking like we're doing the right things. But you can act like a Christian. You can talk like a Christian. You can be around a bunch of Christians. But are you actually a Christ follower? Does your walk, the way you live every single day, does it match the talk that's coming out of your mouth? Does it match the confession of your faith? So my question to you today, my challenge for you today, is can you walk the walk? Now, in this world that we live in today, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's been a lot of talk about the end times. There's been a lot of talk about the rapture here lately. There's been, you know, we have wars on every continent. We know in Matthew chapter 24 what the Bible says about the end times. What we're going to see is rumors of war. Wars, rumors of wars, right? We know all of this. And I myself, I expect very shortly, very soon in this world that we live in, I expect for us to see the culmination of history. I expect for us to see the culmination of prophecy fulfilled. And I expect, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I expect that trumpet blast. And I expect here soon, I expect for the Lord to say, Son, go get my children. And I expect for the church to be raptured out of history. I expect that. I expect that very soon. Are you ready for the return of Jesus? Say amen.
Amen.
I am ready for that day. I am ready to be caught up in the air. I am ready to be with Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior, forever and forevermore. But while we are still breathing here in history, while we are still, while we still have breath in our bodies, and we still have life within us, God has called us to do more than just wait. He has called us to do more than just come to church. He has called us to be the church. We are the bride of Christ, and He has called us to be the church. Now, what exactly does that mean, to be the church? In the Bible, it tells us, in the book of Matthew, it tells us that we are to be the salt of the earth. Amen? It tells us that we are to shine a light into darkness. And if you look at the world that we live in today, it looks like there's a lot of darkness going on. Everything from the LGBTQ movement, whatever those letters are, everything from that to people just putting aside God and living a selfish lifestyle. We could go on and on and on, and we could talk about the darkness in our world. We could talk about how addiction has taken over a lot of people. We could talk about how homelessness is plaguing America. We could talk about how families are breaking up and falling apart. We could sit here all day long and talk about this. But the truth of the matter is that the world that we live in today is a darkened place. And it's a darkened place because I believe that Satan knows that his time has been cut short. So he's going to do everything that he can in the here and now to try to stop the church from doing what Jesus has called us to do, to go out and shine a light into this darkness. So we as the church, we can't just sit back and talk a bunch of talk. We've actually got to walk the walk of being true disciples of Jesus Christ, true Christ followers. Oftentimes, I don't use the word Christian because people use the term Christian loosely nowadays like never before. People will say, well, if you ask them, especially in the Bible Belt, you ask them if they're a Christian, they're going to say yes. And the reason they're going to say yes, because they go to church, they belong to a church, they know people who go to church, their mom and dad believe in Jesus, they have a Bible, and everybody else is a Christian, so yes, sure, I believe in Jesus, but there's truly a difference, just like 2,000 years ago when Jesus walked on this earth, there's truly a difference in being religious and having a relationship with Jesus Christ. You either have a relationship with the Father through the Son, or you don't have a relationship with it at all. But going to church and talking a bunch of talk does not make you a Christian. It doesn't make you a Christ follower. Just like sitting in a garage going vroom, vroom does not make you a car. Are you listening to me, church? Today, I want you to look with me in our scripture in Luke chapter 14. And I want you to keep in mind that as we go to Luke chapter 14, and we're going to be in verse 25. Now, I'm just going to get there. Give me a minute. We're going to look at what it means to walk the walk. Now, remember in Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible tells us that we are saved by grace, say word grace, through faith, say word faith, not ourselves, so that no one can boast. But Paul goes on to tell the church at Ephesus, he goes on to tell them, but you are saved to do works, good works, that God prepared in advance for you to do. That means if you are a Christ follower and you have called upon Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, God has a purpose for you, He has a plan for you, and it is all for His will to do things His way to accomplish His mission here in history. Amen? Are y'all excited to be the bride of Christ? I'm excited to be a part of that number. And just because because I'm preaching does not mean that there's anything holy about me, because I'm just like you. I just want to know Jesus. That's the end. I just want to know Jesus and serve alongside you. Some of the Brother Bill, we just want people to know Jesus, and we want to serve alongside you so that we can bring the majesty of the kingdom here into history. We want people to know the goodness of God. And so, the church itself needs to realize what it means to walk the walk. Now, walk is important because it appears 212 times in Scripture. The word walk appears 212 different times. And if you look it up in a Webster dictionary, it means a manner of living. This is a noun. It means a manner of living or a conduct of behavior. So again, my challenge to you is, are you walking the walk? Or are you just talking the talk? Does your manner of living say I have a Jesus first mentality? Or does my manner of living say that I have a me first mentality? I heard Brother Bill preach one time at a chapel service over here at Forest Chapel Academy. And I have always remembered this one thing that he said. This one thing, I remember one thing that Bill said. But he said this is really good, y'all. Listen to me. Brother Bill said this. He said, it's time for us to get off the throne of our heart and let Christ sit in his rightful place. See, I remember some things that you say. I'm taking that with me, and I'm using it. I might claim that my own. I'm being truthful about it in front of the church. Okay, so it's time for us to get off the throne of our heart and let Jesus sit there so that we can walk this walk. We do a good job as Christ, as Christians. We do a good job of saying that we're going to live out the Scripture. A lot of times we'll quote Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, but then we worry about what it is we're supposed to do. Or we don't do what it is that we say that we're going to do. We talk a lot about forgiveness. And I hope some of this resonates with you. We talk a lot about forgiveness, but we continue to hold 20-year grudges over people. We talk a lot about how God will make a way, but we never stop worrying about what we're going through. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, he said, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what will we wear? Or your heavenly Father knows what you need. We talk about prayer, and then we just keep worrying. And worrying and worrying. And I can't say that I don't need to that because I have an issue in front of the church. I tell you, I have an issue with anxiety sometimes. It's part of my testimony. It's part of who I am. But I have learned to trust God. Even though I do have some anxiety, I have learned to trust God through my anxiety. I know exactly what it is. I know it's Satan trying to get me to stop doing what God has called me to do. And if you can't make me back up, and slack up, it's never going to happen. We are going to do what God called us to do regardless. Listen, church. Just because you struggle with something, just because you have an issue, it does not mean that you can't overcome it as long as you have Jesus sitting on the throne of your heart. You can get through anything. We talk a lot about in the church, we talk a lot about praying for people. I was scrolling through Facebook the other day. I promise I'm getting to Luke chapter 14. I was scrolling through Facebook the other day, and as I was scrolling through Facebook, somebody said, well, so-and-so had this happen to them. And everybody started going, well, we're praying for them. We're praying for you. Had the little praying hands on them. And I just thought to myself, are you really? Do you really? If you say you're going to pray for somebody, do you really pray for them, or do you just tell them you're going to pray for them? Because we do a lot of lip service. People who call themselves Christians, they offer a lot of lip service, but are you actually doing what you say that you are going to do? And I'm telling you right now, people who don't know Jesus Christ, don't say you're praying for anybody until you get your life right with Jesus. Because you can talk all day long, but until you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you're wasting your breath. So today, I'm telling you, if you don't know Jesus Christ, everybody listening and watching, everybody in the sanctuary, if you are not certain that you have Jesus Christ, that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, that you are living your life with Him sitting on the throne of your heart, if you cannot say that for certain, if you cannot say for certain that when you get up to heaven, because one day you'll be there, you're going to stand before the Lord, if He does not say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," if you're not certain of that, then you have a spiritual issue that you need to deal with right now, right at this moment. Bow your heads, close your eyes, and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner, please forgive me. I give my life to you." I wouldn't waste another second, because I do believe that Christ is coming back to take His church. And ladies and gentlemen, I know you've seen the movies, but I'm not under that bond. Because it's not an adventure movie. It's not. So today what I want to look with you at Luke chapter 14, starting with verse 25. And we're going to look at three things, three statements that Jesus said that are going to help us define our life, that are going to help us make sure that we are walking the walk in our lives. You know, Jesus said in John 14:5, He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments," right? If you love me, keep my commandments. So this, what we're fixing to look at, this should be very, very, very important to you. Now, Jesus had been talking about humility. He had been talking in the book of Luke. He had been talking to His disciples. And he had been talking to the groups of Pharisees and Sadducees and elders of the church and scribes and experts of the law. And here He is in Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Y'all have to excuse me because I'm hot and I'm fired up. That's why I had to slow it down just a minute so I could get to the scripture, because I could just let the Holy Spirit fly right now, y'all. But He had been talking to these people, and He had been talking to them about humility. And it comes to the point where in verse 25, He's talking about what the cost is of following Jesus. What is the cost? What is the cost of actually accepting Christ in your heart? It's free. Salvation is free because of God's grace, but what is the cost of following Jesus? It says in verse 25, it says, "Now great crowds were traveling with Him. So He turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple.'" Jesus says, you cannot be my disciple if you don't hate your mother or your father or your brother or your sister and even your own life. What? Does that make sense? Strong words to live by. If you think about it, that's a strong word to live by, and you have to understand exactly what He meant so that you can keep on. The Bible says that God is love, so why would He tell us to hate anybody? In Matthew 10:37, the same thing is written. It says, "The one who loves a father or a mother more than me is not worthy of me." What He really means is this. He means in order to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, in order to truly be a Christ follower, you must love Jesus more than you love anybody else. You must love Jesus more than you love your spouse, your mother, your father. You must love Jesus more than you love anyone else. He must be first place. Jesus commands us to love one another. So how can He mean that He actually wants us to hate other people? In Mark chapter 12, one of the scribes approached Jesus. And he asked Him, he said, "Which commandment is the greatest of all?" And Jesus answered. And he said, "The most important is, love the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul and with all of your mind, with all of your strength. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these. We are commanded to love God above all else, first and foremost, and place Him on the throne. And our love for Him and our dedication to Him has to come first in our lives, before the love of our spouse, the love of our children, before the love of anything else. And once we place Jesus on the throne of our heart, and once we've got the loving God part right, then and only then will we truly be able to show love to other people. Listen, church. Until you give your life to Christ, you never understand what true love is. You can't. You may know what affection is, but you can never know what love is until you know who Jesus Christ is. Because He is the definition of love. And once you love Christ more than anything, then you can show love to your spouse appropriately, the way that God wants you to love your spouse. You can love your children appropriately, the way that God wants you to love your children. You can love your neighbor the way that God wants you to love your neighbor. You realize you're supposed to love even those who don't love you in return? Think about this. Truly think about this. You're supposed to love the person sitting next to you. Turn around to the person next to you and say, I love you. Now look at the one on the other side that you don't like and say, I love you. Not ever before, I just can't get over that. We're supposed to love everybody. In John 13, Jesus said, I give you a new command. Love one another just as I have loved you. We love because He first loved us, church. We're able to love Him because He first loved us. And we're able to love other people because He first loved us. He said, you are to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Paul wrote, he said, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Peter wrote, he said, above all, maintain constant love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. John said, if we love one another, God remains in us, and His love is made complete in us. In Romans 11:36, the Bible says, everything is from Him, and by Him, and for Him, and love is from Him. Love comes directly from Him. It is a direct representation of who He is. Love. Because the God that we serve is love. He is love. Therefore, when we love Him first, then we are able to follow His commandment of loving other people. When I think about this part of this scripture, I think about the parable of the Samaritan. I just told you that there's a difference between religion and a relationship with Jesus, right? But if you think about the parable of the Good Samaritan, I'm not going to read it to you, but it's one of my favorite parables in all of Scripture. But there's a man who was robbed, and he was left for dead. And Jesus says that a priest walked by. He saw him, but he passed him by. Then a Levite walked by. He saw him, but he passed him by. But then a Samaritan walked by. And when the Samaritan saw this man, he took compassion upon him. And I imagine that this man laying there was a Jewish person. Samaritans and Jews did not like each other. The Jewish people thought that the Samaritans were unclean people. But the Samaritan person took pity and compassion upon this injured man. And he bandaged his wounds. And then he put him on his own donkey and he took him to the inn and he left him at the inn and he paid for all of his expenses and then told the innkeeper, he said, if there's any more, I'll come back and pay for those too. We are commanded to show love in this world, even to those that are not like us. Even to those that are different from us from a socioeconomic standpoint. Even those that were born on the other side of the tracks with a silver spoon in their mouth. Even those that were born down in the bottom. Even those that have different colors of skin. Everybody who walks the face of this earth is your neighbor. And if you love God, if you truly love the Lord, then you can show love to them despite whatever difference you may see on the surface. Because in the end, what really matters is that every single one of us were created in the image of God. How can you say you love God and not love somebody who is created in His image? You cannot, church. You can't. We are commanded to love one another. The second statement I want you to see comes in verse 27. It says, if you want to be my disciple, you must take up your cross and follow me. And if you want to walk this walk, this is what Jesus is talking about. Sacrifice. What is sacrifice? Say the word sacrifice.
Sacrifice
means that you really just have to give something up. That's what sacrifice means. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says this. Then he said to them all, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will save it. For what does it benefit someone if he gains the whole world and yet loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and that of the Father and of the holy angels. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. So to be a true disciple of Jesus, to call yourself a Christian and actually be a Christ follower, to actually walk the walk, it's not about talking a big game. It requires self-denial. Self-denial means to give up your own self-interest or to make a self-sacrifice. The cross was, of course, the most humiliating form of death to the Romans back then. And the Romans used it for execution. And Jesus is saying, you have to take up your cross. You have to sacrifice yourself for my sake. Will you selflessly sacrifice everything that is important to you for the sake of Christ? Because when we say that we love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, when we say that He's number one, that He sits right here, then everything that we love in this world and in this life, it has to be second place. Every single thing. Will you purposely say, you know, this relationship is not of God, so I'm going to put Jesus first, and I've got to walk away from this relationship? Will you purposely say, this job is not of God, so I've got to walk away from this job? All of this is paying me big bucks. I've got to walk away from it because it's not of God. Will you purposely say, you know, I want to go out with them on Friday night, but what they're doing is not of God and being popular school and all that, but I really want to be the person that honors God in my life, not the person that's popular with people. If somebody came up to you and they said, do you know Jesus Christ? They put a gun to your head and said, if you say yes, what would you say? Would you be able to do that? There was a time in my life where I was sitting up, even as being a Christian, or calling myself a Christian. But now I will give up my own life to Jesus. And I'll tell you why. Because I've seen in my life what He's done for me. And if you are a Christ follower, you have a testimony, and you can look back on your life, and you can see what he has done for you. And there was no greater sacrifice than what Christ made for us on the cross at Calvary to take away the burdens and the sins that we have in this life. There was no greater sacrifice. And I could never repay that, but if that means that I have to give my life to honor him, I will give my life to honor him 1,000 times over today, tomorrow, and every day until the end of history. Because there's nothing more important than honoring Jesus with my life. So my question to you is that you? Is that your thoughts? There's a reason in John 12:25 says, he who loves his life shall lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. The Apostle Paul, he said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain, because there's nothing that they can do to me in this world that is not going to be, that is going to be greater than what I get when I get to eternity because of Jesus. What I get when I leave this world, when I take my final breath in history, is I get to see my Jesus. I get to hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I get to go in and walk streets of gold, where there's no worry, no death, no pain, no harm, no evil, no darkness. I get to live with Jesus for an eternity. So for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. The whole point is, if we want to follow Jesus, and we have to be willing to lay down our own devotions and live for Christ and live for his mission in this world and to follow him according to his word and his will, no matter what. And if you are a Christ follower, you have counted the cost. This is what it says in Luke 14:28. For which of you wanting to build a tower doesn't first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete? Otherwise, after he has laid the foundation and cannot finish it, all the onlookers will begin to ridicule him, saying this man started to build and wasn't able to finish. When you calculate what the costs are in following Jesus Christ, I'm going to skip my notes and I'm just going to tell you this. You either follow Jesus so that you can get the reward of glory in heaven, or you don't follow Jesus and you will spend eternity in hell. You will spend eternity without God, without the love of God. Church, do you understand what I'm saying to you? There's only two eternal destinations. There's not three, there's not four, there's not more than two. There's heaven and there's hell. And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will get to go to heaven. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will be separated from God for an eternity in a place called hell. And it is as real as the sanctuary is. Have you counted the cost? Because the cost of not following Jesus. You cannot follow it. You say, I'm not going to follow Jesus because I love everything that this world gives me. If you say you're not going to follow, you might have a good time for a little while in this world. But this world, this time that you have in history, is this much of an eternity. And you can have a good time for this much time. You can have a good time for this lunch. Which do you want? Have you calculated the cost of not following Jesus? Because the consequences are far greater than you could ever imagine. You know, I think about Jennifer and I. We're fixing to pack up and we're going to move. And we're going to a place that we're familiar with, but this is our hometown. I've lived here for 51 years of my life, except for those glorious years at this city state. Any Bulldog fans in here? Any other Bulldogs? Okay, any Ole Miss fans in here? We don't care about y'all. But this is my hometown. My mom's here. You know? I think about the sacrifice that But then again, I think about Abraham. Think about when God called Abraham and he said, hey, I want you to pick up and I want you to move and I want you to go. You should take everything and I want you to go to a land that you're not familiar with. This is where I want you to go. I think about when God called Moses and he said, I want you to go lead the Israelites out of slavery. And Moses was like, whoa. I think about when God called Gideon and Gideon said, Lord, I'm the smallest of my clan, the smallest of my tribe. I can't do this. I think about when God called Samuel. When God called Samuel, he had to call Samuel four times. And that's kind of like my life. God would call me, and I would say no, no, no. God called Samuel three times, and Samuel said no three times. And then what happened? God called him four times, and God went down here and stood right beside him. And he said, dude, whatever I called you to do, I'm going to be right there with you. I'm not going to leave you, nor am I ever going to forsake you. I'm going to walk through it all with you. I've got something great for you to do. It's for the kingdom of God. Will you accept? And what do you say when God's standing right there with you? You can't say no. You can't say no. And I'm telling you, every single one of you right now, God is right here with you. He will never leave you, nor will he ever forsake you. He will always be right beside you. And all you have to do is say yes. Yes, Lord, I will do whatever it is that you want me to do. I will go wherever it is you want me to go. Because you are my King. You are my Lord. All you have to do is say yes and adopt a Jesus-first mentality in your life. And when you adopt that Jesus-first mentality in your life, there is no stopping what the kingdom of God will do through you. There's no stopping what you will be able to do for our Lord if you would just say yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And if you build on that foundation, there is nothing impossible unto you. Matthew 19:26 says, there is nothing impossible unto God. Nothing. Okay, close. I know some of you are thinking mountain water right now, and I know that some of you are ready to eat lunch, but I need you to bear with me just for a little bit longer. I promise you, Buffet Line is going to stay open just long enough for you to get there. Verse 31 says, or what king going to war against another king would not first go down and decide if he is able with 10,000 to oppose one who comes against him with 20,000. If not, while the other is still far off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. And in the same way, therefore, every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions is not my disciple. Jesus has to be first. He has to be first. And the third statement I want you to see from Christ this morning is found in verse 33. This is the last statement that Jesus makes here today for us. And if you are not willing to renounce all your possessions, listen to what this says. It says, you cannot be my disciple. Verse 33. In the same way, therefore, every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The very essence of being a Christ, the very essence of being a disciple of Christ and truly walking that Christian walk is your unreserved commitment to Him in every single way. This involves holding loosely to the things of the world so that you can hold tightly to the things of God. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to have nice things, because I believe that He does. But He does not want you to put those nice things over Him. He wants you to make sure that He is first no matter what. I love what Matthew wrote in chapter 6. He said, do not store for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. If you go back to Matthew chapter 19 and you look at the parable of the rich young ruler, He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus tells him, you got to, you know, you do not murder, do not covet, do not do all of these things, follow the law. And the guy said, hey, I've done all of these things. And then he said, Jesus looked at him and said, well, go sell all of your possessions and give it to the poor, and then follow me. And it says that the rich young ruler, he walked away sad because he had great possessions. You cannot put things of this world over the things of God. He must be first. Physically, mentally, emotionally, he must be first. Where your treasure is, there your heart shall also be. Where is your treasure this morning? Where is your heart this morning? What does it mean to actually walk the walk of a Christ? It means that you love God above all else. It means that you love others as you love yourself. It means that you pick up your cross and you follow Jesus every single day, even when times are tough. Even when things are not going the way that you planned them to. Let me give you this lesson. When you say something is impossible, God says that all things are possible. When you say, I'm too tired, God says, I will give you rest. When you say, nobody loves me, God says, I love you. When you say, I can't figure things out, God says, I will direct your steps. When you say, I can't do it, the Bible says you can do all things through Jesus who gives you strength. When you say, it's not worth it, God says, it will be worth it. When you say, I can't forgive myself, God says, you don't have to because I've forgiven you. When you say, I can't manage, God says, I will supply every need that you have. When you say, I'm afraid, God says, I did not give you a spirit of fear. When you say, I don't have enough faith, listen to what the Bible says. It says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you are, but rather than think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. When you say, I'm not smart enough, God says, I will give you wisdom. And when you say, I feel alone, God says, I will never leave you. You are never alone. So pick up your cross. It doesn't matter what happens in this world. Because what you have in Christ Jesus is far greater than you can ever imagine. And the last thing is, you'll be willing to lay down your life. You'll be willing to lay down your life, put the world aside, and place Him first. If you can do all of these things, you know what Rick Flair meant when he came out and he said, woo! Can you walk the walk? Or can you just talk the talk? Today, as a Christ follower, it's important that we focus on how we are living our life each day. It's important that we wake up in the morning and we have a Jesus first mentality. Because this world that we live in, this dark place that we live in, it needs light. And if the church does not wake up, then we're wasting the light that God has given us, and the world is not getting the light that they need so that they can see in the stars. There's a reason why Christ has not come back and gotten us yet. There's a reason. And it's because we still have people that need Him. There are still people in this world that need Jesus. And it's our job to give them Jesus. Before we can give them Jesus, we gotta get ourselves right. We've got to make sure that we're not talking a bunch of talk, but we are truly walking the walk of being Christ followers. Can you truly say today that you are? Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Christ Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for the blessings of this day. And we thank you for this opportunity, this time that we have had in your house. Father, we thank you for the brothers and sisters that are here, that are watching online, that are listening. And Father, I pray that each and every person within the sound of my voice know your Son Jesus as Lord and Savior. I pray, Father, if there's someone in here that knows Jesus as Lord and Savior, but they're struggling to walk that walk each and every day, I pray today, Lord, that you would tell them that whatever they need, you will supply it for them if they will keep you first. I pray, Father, that you would help those that are struggling mentally and emotionally and physically. I pray, Lord, that you would help them with everything that they need and give them the strength that they need so that they can go out and be that light in this dark world. Then, Father, I pray for those who don't know Jesus. I pray, Father, that they will come to the life-saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and they will realize that life's just not worth living without. Because not only do you give us an abundant life here to actually do this walking, but you give us eternity in heaven. And Father, I pray if there's someone here within the sound of my voice that doesn't know your Son, I pray that today that they will call upon him as Lord. Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for our pastor. We thank you for this time that you give us. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Mike's going to lead us in a hymn of invitation. Would you stand with us for that? Listen, God spoke to you in your heart. Maybe you've just been a casual admirer of Christ. But today, you commit your life. Today, you say, I'm going to walk the walk. You walk after him today. As you come to the Mike, change my heart, oh God.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the
Pastor asked him, he said, what do you think about American Christianity? He said, I think there needs to be less talky-talky and more walky-walky. Amen. And as followers of Christ, need to do more walking than talking. Show in the world that there's a God who we love and we're committed. Amen. Hey, thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for being a part of our worship time. Yes, it's always a joy and a privilege to have you with us today. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do this afternoon at 5 o'clock in our small group time. So I want you to come back, be a part of that. Then remember, next Sunday night after our small group, we're going to be having a little fellowship time for Chris and Jennifer, their family. So I want you to come back and be a part of that. Remember, we're going to make cookies, help us to honor our first responders and show some appreciation to them do that this week. Bring those up here, drop them off at the church, or we'll go to the street. But, man, we're so glad. I don't know if you noticed this. Did y'all notice all those kids walking out of here this morning? Man, I'm telling you, God's good. For our children's department, children's work, for those that are leading in our children's church time. And so we're grateful. Man, if you know folks, families that are looking for places to worship, hey, we got some good stuff going on. So invite them and encourage them to come be a part of our worship time today. All right. Chris, I want you to join me back here. You and Jennifer, y'all join us back here in the back. We're going to sing something as we leave. We're going to sing.
When the roll is called young.
We will be there. I'll be there. Would you come be with us? Amen.
When the roll is gone up yonder, when the roll is gone up yonder, when the roll is gone up yonder, when the roll is gone up yonder.